God be with you. Thank you so much for bringing us back a lot of memories of bringing in the sheaves and this is my maker's world. Thank you, Donna. And thanks to all those. Thanks to Leslie for creating this beautiful sanctuary and reminding us that it is Thanksgiving, even if it might not feel like it. And thanks to Els and Brian and Caroline for leading us in music. And thanks to Sandy and Gordon and the tech team and for those who are greeting you. It's a day of Thanksgiving. We recognize that we are on the traditional territory of the Saunas people and the Qualicum nations, and we give thanks for this beautiful land and sea upon which we make our home. And we remember that we are to be working toward truth and reconciliation with all peoples, and especially the indigenous peoples of our land. Just a reminder from the team lead of spiritual formation, Stephen Torrance, that he would like to get everybody's surveys back, if you can, so that we know what kind of programming you would like as we go forward, and if we're going to be on Zoom, or if we are able to meet in person, if you would like to do that. So he would really like to know some of those answers from you. And also to let you know that we had thought of limiting people's worship experience to 2 in a month, but we're just happy to have people here. So if you want to sign up for all 4 times, that's great. And if we are overflowing and we have to put you on a wait list, that's okay too. Welcome to our virtual congregation also. We know that you are out there in your own homes, and we're glad that you are joining us today. And I'm really excited to see all of the spiritual bandits here today. So thanks for coming. And we light the Christ candle as a sign of the light of Christ filling all of our hearts and warming us this day. Reminder that God is in God's house, as God always is. We just need to be aware. Unfortunately, we can't, because of COVID-19, pass the peace with one another. And I know there's always been a shift in the energy in a service when we can actually get up and hug one another and welcome one another into this sacred space. So it's a real sadness that we don't have that. However, we can send our love and peace to one another in the quiet, and also send out our love and peace to anyone perhaps in which you are alienated in some way, or there has been a rift in your relationship. Just send that love and peace out to them in this time of passing the peace to one another. For the peace of Christ that passes all understanding, we give thanks. A reminder that we cannot sing out loud because of the droplets that go in, even with masks, but we can sing in our souls. So let us listen to the music and really reflect on the words, which we can do more so when we're not singing. For the fruit of all creation, thanks be to God.
Thanks be.
Let us pray. Sacred source of all life, on this Thanksgiving day, fill our hearts with gratitude and appreciation for all the many gifts that bless us every day. For the love of family and friends, for the creatures with whom we share this beautiful world, for the changing leaves and seasons, for the colors, the golds and oranges and yellows and reds, for the food that graces our tables. We give thanks for all these good gifts. Help us to share what we have, that others who have little have more than enough. Help us to be a blessing. Infuse us with your grace. Infuse our hearts with gratitude. This day we pray. Amen. I'd invite Els to read our scriptures for today.
Thanksgiving. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not squelch the Spirit.
You know, it's our first Thanksgiving dinner during COVID, and you've eaten too much when you have to let out your bathrobe. I'd always said that when we finally got back to being able to come in person to worship, we should all come in our jammies and our cups of coffee. I think that would be good. When it's finally over, that would be wonderful. This Thanksgiving is different from Thanksgiving's past because we're all living together through COVID-19. And so many of us might be sitting home alone at Thanksgiving because we've had to limit our bubbles and we might be unable to see our families and friends. So perhaps gratitude comes less easily to us this Thanksgiving. I think this year perhaps we can relate more than ever to the 9 lepers that did not return to Jesus and give thanks to God, even though they were freed of the disease that had afflicted them. We might spend a little bit more time thinking about why they didn't return to give thanks, because we understand that a little better. Perhaps they still looked like lepers, still devastated by the disease, with people being afraid of them because it was so contagious, kind of like COVID-19. I know several people who have suffered COVID-19 in early March in Calgary. And when I spoke with them this summer, they said that they feel like lepers. They don't actually tend to tell people that they had the virus because people tend to stigmatize them and act like they were somehow irresponsible by contracting it when it wasn't their fault at all. I think living through this time has helped us to better understand how the people 2,000 years ago felt about leprosy and why they were considered the untouchables and people were afraid. So maybe the nine didn't come back and give thanks because they were still shunned by their community. And even though they'd gone to the priest and the priest had declared them clean, society still rejected them because they were still afraid. Or maybe they were still resentful or angry that they were sick in the first place and their bodies were still deformed and scarred by the disease, so they didn't feel very grateful to God at all. Or maybe they had become accustomed to begging for a living. And because they'd been withdrawn from society, they couldn't conceive of actually entering back in and now actually working for a living. So they didn't feel grateful for the healing. Or maybe they'd just been so beaten down by the disease, like people are beaten down for years of fighting addiction or depression or chronic illness, that the nine had decided that they just wanted to die, not to fight their way back to live. The story doesn't tell us why the nine lepers didn't come back to Jesus to give thanks for being cleansed, even though they had all received another chance at life and had actually begged for it in the beginning. Perhaps they simply were not grateful for all they had been given because they were still focused on all that they had lost. Except one. One came back. His body, no doubt, still ravaged with the remnants of the disease, but he came back with a grateful heart. And as Jesus points out, the only one who came back was a Samaritan, someone who was considered less than, a most unlikely person to have a heart full of gratitude. It was the doubly outcast one who had the courage and the grateful heart to come back, to face a Jewish healer, and to say thank you to Jesus, and to praise God for the cleansing. And this person, says Jesus, whose heart was so full of gratitude for the gift, this one was not just cured, says Jesus, but healed. Our story suggests to us that there's something very special about gratitude. It's something that fills our hearts and creates an inner joy. A heart full of gratitude illuminates from the inside out and radiates a message of love and joy and positivity. The person who counts their blessings and lives with an awareness of the miracle of life and the goodness and generosity of the Creator and recognizes all life as a gift, even the hard stuff, that person who lives with a heart full of gratitude is the person, says Jesus, who is truly whole. And surprisingly, we discover that one doesn't even have to be cured to be healed, because living a life of gratitude, even in the midst of trauma or challenge or struggle or disease, is what makes a person whole. It's the gratitude, the attitude of gratitude, that creates a whole life. When we live lives of gratitude, when we see all of life as a miracle and a wonder, there is no room in our hearts for resentment or depression or despair. Jesus points out that though nine were cured, only one was fully healed. And this one was not healed because he was cured. He was healed and whole and well because he was grateful. It was this person's attitude of gratitude that made this leper a whole person. In other words, we can still be ill, we can still be suffering, and yet be whole. In our Bible study group this week, Stephen Torrance shared a story of someone he knew who exemplified being healed in spite of illness. I asked Stephen to send me the story that he had shared with us so that it would be spoken in his own words. He writes, "I knew a vibrant young man, full of life. Yet in his early 20s, he was stricken with arthritis that was so bad that it severely disfigured his hands, feet, and affected his joints. He could no longer work and had to go on welfare. So he became very depressed and thought his life wasn't worth anything. And then along came someone who listened to him and told him that he had far more to offer, that the arthritis didn't need to define him. And this new friend asked him to come to an art class, a pottery class. And he found he could do pottery in spite of his disfigurement. And he practiced and he practiced and he became a gifted potter and was the potter in residence at a community art center for a year where Stephen was. And he commented that this young man had such joy and spirit in his pottery, which was unique and amazing. Stephen commented, while he was not cured and his arthritis and disfigurement remained, I guess he was healed. This young man was grateful for the person in his life who reminded him of his value and worth, like Jesus reminded the lepers that they were of great worth and value. And just as a leper came back to Jesus to thank him for recognizing him, that he had value as a person. And in spite of these challenges, this young man's gratitude shone through him in his pottery and spirit. And he gifted the world because of his gratitude, because he was whole. When we count our blessings instead of our challenges, when we see the goodness that surrounds us rather than the failings, when we recognize the gifts rather than complain about what we don't have, then our hearts are filled with gratitude and appreciation. In David Rico's book about love called Being an Adult in Relationship, he reminds us that one of the most important of the five A's of learning to be a more loving human being is demonstrating love through appreciation. We show love when we express our appreciation to one another, when we take the time to notice and to thank each other. You and I, we all long to be appreciated for not only what we do, but just for who we are, to be seen, to be noticed, to be appreciated. We are called to become better at thanking one another for all the little and unseen ways we make a difference. So I'm encouraging us in these very challenging times that we are now living in to live lives of fuller gratitude for all that is rather than what isn't. And we can do this in a myriad of ways. In our family messy church service, we're going to be creating gratitude jars. We're going to be taking glass jars and decorating them. And each day, we're going to be invited to name one thing on a piece of paper that we are grateful for. Whether it's the weather or a person or a bird in the window or food on the table, and we're going to put it in our jar, our gratitude jar. So I'm going to invite us to create our own gratitude jars. Another way we can begin to live our lives with greater gratitude is to begin to keep a gratitude journal, which at the end of the day, we write down a list of everything we are grateful for, and I know some of you already do that. Because when we begin to realize how many things that there are to be grateful for, our hearts are expanded and our spirits are lifted and we live more healed and whole and joy-filled lives. Another way to increase the fullness of our hearts with gratitude is to go home tonight and maybe this evening commit to write an email or a thank you to one person every day. There was a man named John who did that, and he said it transformed his life when he wrote a letter, a thank you card, to one person every day for the rest of his life. Whether that person was a child or a grandchild or a partner or a friend or a gas attendant or a grocery clerk or a shopkeeper or someone in the past who you realized contributed so much to your life. When we begin to do these things, we become very good at filling our hearts with gratitude, and we can live into Paul's words that Els read to the Thessalonians and begin to give thanks in all circumstances, even the challenging and painful and hurtful circumstances we are living in now. For as we mature in our capacity for gratitude, we will discover that even those people who were our greatest challenge in our life, the people who were most hurtful to us, who wounded us in some way, they have somehow gifted us and grown us and matured us and made us better. And we can write and give thanks for even them. I was not the most grateful teenager, or even the most grateful young person. I had a lot to learn about giving thanks. In fact, when my mother would make me sit down and write a thank you note to someone who had gifted me, I balked and procrastinated every time. But last year, I prayed to become a more grateful person, because I recognized that it was the gratitude that heals us. Because I remembered a story. I remember when my first boyfriend broke up with me. And I sat down, at first really hurt. But then I decided to write him a thank you card. I wrote him a thank you card thanking him for all the things I had learned from him. And I realized there was a whole lot, even though we only dated for 3 months. But I was grateful for all the things I had learned about being in relationship, what to do and what not to do, how to be and how not to be. Writing that letter of gratitude helped me begin to heal. And so I have prayed to become a more grateful person. And so maybe someday soon, I will even be able to write a thank you letter to COVID. Not for what it has taken from us, for it has taken much, but to discover what it has given us all. The time to slow down and Sabbath. The time to pause and reflect and reprioritize. Time to appreciate what we had before and what we hope to have again. Time to realize what our society needs to change, because it's shown all the cracks of our inequities and what we need to change in order to heal. When we can begin to search hard and discover those little hidden gems, those gifts, even in the midst of difficulties and grief, we can become like the leper who came back and return with healed hearts and give thanks to God. So as someone who is learning to be more grateful, I am so thankful to all of you. I am thankful that even when you haven't been able to come to church, you have continued to believe in the importance of this faith community, and you have worked to gather together in small groups for backyard church or for the gathering place. have continued to give generously to your faith community, to ensure that the church is still here in the midst of this community. And you have given, keeping food on the table of your minister and the staff. And you have given to help people who are struggling in this time. Knox helped 3 people this week with food coupons. Thank you. In fact, since COVID, since March 17th, we have given out $1,250 worth of food coupons. Thank you. And the hungry people who have received them, thank you. And I am thankful to the Creative Worship and Arts team for making worship available and offering gifts of music and visual arts and technology and greeting and organizing and planning and reading. Every week, did you know that it takes at least 14 people to make worship happen? And I am thankful to every one of them. I am thankful to Jan Korvermacher this week, who made 25 little gratitude booklets for people in our care homes, and to Jan Jameson for delivering them so all people know they are not alone, that we are thinking about them in their care homes. I am grateful to the pastoral care team, who continues to call people and to remind them that they are valued and missed. I'm grateful to the people who go to St. Edmund's to cook food for the most vulnerable among us. I'm thankful to the prayer team who has continued to pray for so many through these hard times. I'm thankful to the council and its teams who have continued to work behind the scenes, the people who have continued to work on Facebook, posting inspiration, and the website folks who do the same. And continue to those people who continue to meet by whatever means, through Zoom or in person, to discuss and plan. It would take hours to name and thank all of the good people of Knox for all the ways you bless this community in Oceanside. And know that even if no one else sees it, God sees it, and you are appreciated and valued, and you are adding more love into the world through your prayers and your actions and your gratitude. So on this Thanksgiving Day, let us be grateful for all that has been given and continues to be given. Let us, like the leper who returned to give God thanks, give our thanks to the Creator this day and every day, that our hearts might be full, that we might add more joy to this world, and that our lives may be ones of wholeness and healing. So let us sing and not sing in our souls with grateful hearts the hymn Grateful.
Over all, O God above, grateful for the
Today, in place of the prayers of the people, offering a Thanksgiving meditation for us to have our hearts filled and inspired. as our hearts are filled with so many things, all the good gifts, I invite us to rise if we are able. And even though we can't sing "Let All Things Now Living," we can let Caroline and Brian and Alice sing for us. "Let All Things Now Living." Let us go forth in this Thanksgiving, a very different time. Let us go forth with gratitude in our hearts for all things that have been given and learned. And as you go forth, may the deep, deep love of God surround you. And may the gentleness and the wisdom and the kindness of the Christ guide you in all you say and do. And may the Holy Spirit fill you with compassion and gratitude, and the strength to live this day and every day.